Let me take a few minutes to set the context for this morning's scripture lesson and then for today's sermon. First, in regards to our prescribed scripture passage for today, it is important to note that in the church calendar, this Sunday celebrates the baptism of Christ. Yes, it was only 2 weeks ago today that we celebrated Christmas with the birth of the Christ child. But with the use of an ecclesiastical time machine, in just 2 weeks since Jesus was born, we have on Friday, this past Friday, the three wise guys from the east arriving at the straw-filled manger on the day of Epiphany, Three Kings Day. And so in just the 2 days since Friday, the pooping, peeping baby has aged 30 years. For better or for worse, the Bible largely spares us Jesus' terrible twos, most of Jesus' childhood and adolescent years. And now at the age of 30, Jesus is ready to begin his ministry. And so he goes to the River Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist. You know, the guy who was fashionably dressed in garments of camel's hair. We don't hear whether there were fleas in those garments or not. And he also was eating locusts and wild honey. John the Baptist easily could be at that time one of People magazine's great celebrities. Well, with his baptism, God calls Jesus for his mission in the world with the words, "You are my beloved child, in you I am well pleased." Well, that's all fine and good that God has baptized Jesus for a mission in the world. But what exactly is that mission? What exactly is Jesus' mission, his purpose, his work to be done in the world? What exactly were Jesus' marching orders for his life? Well, I guess we in part wonder about Jesus' marching orders, because if we desire to be followers of Jesus, what is good enough for the goose must be good enough for the gander, right? So now with this new year before us, it's time for us to play a little follow the leader. And if we want to hear some words to live by given to Jesus, then voila, we will hear the words that we are called to live by. Sound logical and fair? So John will now read to us from the Old Testament Jesus' marching orders so that we can hear our marching orders.
"Here is my servant who I am uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus said God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, and from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them." May God bless our understanding of this reading.
Marching orders, words to live by. Jesus got some wise words to live by from God via the mouth of the prophet Isaiah. "Here is my servant, I put my spirit upon him. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice on the earth." Like Jesus, I think we all need marching orders to live by for any year, but perhaps for this year in particular. We always need wise words by which to guide our lives. In my research for this sermon, I found some guiding words in the voices of some famous people, some famous celebrities for whom 2016 was their last year here on earth. Some of these wise words were whimsical, some practical, and some powerfully inspiring. Arnold Palmer, who died in September at the age of 87, and who brought his Pennsylvania steel town values to the country club game of golf, once said, "The more I practice, the luckier I get." Gary Marshall, the actor, writer, producer, and director, who was 81 when he died last July, once advised, "Learn to work with people you wouldn't go to lunch with." Two courageous heroes who died in 2016 made the following observations about life. Muhammad Ali, who said a lot of outlandish and wise things, in a life that really overflowed with triumph as well as misfortune, once said, "A man who views the world the same at 50 as he did at 20 has wasted 30 years of his life." And then John Glenn, who was 95 when he died last year, was, I think we all can agree, a hero in that classic sense of someone who dared to go into the realms of God. This observation displayed his wry sense of humor. "As I hurtled through space, one thought kept crossing my mind. Every part of this rocket was supplied by the lowest bidder." But it is from songwriter and poet Leonard Cohen and Auschwitz survivor Elie Wiesel and musician Prince that we have some really powerfully inspiring words to live by. Cohen was 82 when he died in November. He said, "There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in." And when one hears the following words of Elie Wiesel, one can't help but think of people in this nation, in this world, who are marginalized simply because they are perceived as somehow different. Different because of a disability, religion, race, nationality, sexual preference or identity, or any other arbitrary classification. Elie Wiesel said, "Wherever men and women are persecuted because of their race, religion, or political views, that place must become the center of our universe." And finally, singer, songwriter Prince, who died too young at 57 after dazzling generations with his music, said, "It's a hurtful place, the world, in and of itself. We don't need to add to it." There's lots of wisdom, I think, in all those words, and they do offer some powerful and poignant words to live by. But as we move into this new year, and as each of us here face life's inevitable ups and downs, trials and tribulations, and as our world faces its share of ups and downs, I would offer some words to live by from two wonderful people who are much, much closer to home. And while they may not be celebrities for People magazine or Esquire or Vogue, they certainly have something to share as we go into this world baptized to be God's beloved servants. And I'll go in chronological order of the age of my two sources of wisdom, Alice Taylor and Al Reed. Now, I could have said age before beauty, right, Al? Well, first, the words of wisdom from Alice Taylor, my mother, soon to be 97 in February. Words spoken on Christmas Day. After our morning Christmas Day service here at First Church, I went down around noon to pick up my mom, who lives at Covenant Village with some of you down in Cromwell. And as we were driving through Portland and South Glastonbury, she likes the back roads and seeing if there were some Christmas lights on the houses. She paused for a moment to ask why we were making the trip all the way up to Glastonbury. You see, it takes a little bit of effort, mainly for her, to take a walker, get out of her apartment, get in and out of my car, and then in and out of our house. Why am I going to your house? She asked. Because you shouldn't be alone on Christmas Day. Without missing a beat, she quickly responded, you are never alone when you have God. And those have been her powerful words to live by, voiced by a woman who lost her husband over 40 years ago when she was 54 and has lived on her own ever since. So no matter what might come our way in the coming year, let us all strive to know that we are never, ever alone. We are always loved by a good and gracious God, and always loved by a caring and compassionate family of faith. Now to some words to live by, offered by one of First Church's most notable celebrities, the bagpipe playing, breakfast making, choir librarian, and chancel choir bass Al Reed. As some of you know, on the first and third Tuesday of each month at 7:30 a.m., Al cooks up a breakfast in the church kitchen, open to all, and for a mere $2, you get coffee, juice, sausage, and either scrambled eggs, blueberry pancakes, or French toast. And despite my morning greeting to him in front of everyone else, what slop are you feeding us today, Al? It really is a great breakfast. Always a great breakfast, great fellowship, playful kidding, and always a beautiful and touching grace offered by Al, simple but heartfelt. It's often the same simple words, but this past Tuesday, the first Tuesday of the new year, he offered these appropriate words for the new year when in his prayer he said, and let us not feel that we have to make resolutions for the new year, but rather let us simply recommit ourselves to doing good in the world. Recommit ourselves to doing good in the world. That about captures it, doesn't it? Pretty good words to live by. Thank you, Al. Well, the final example of some pretty good words to live by come by way of the award-winning Broadway musical Hamilton. Well, not actually words from the musical itself, although there are plenty of wise words to live by in the play itself, but rather it's the words from an acceptance speech by Hamilton's creator, Wesleyan University graduate Lin-Manuel Miranda. Before I get to those powerful words, some of you were here in the fall when I asked the question, who had heard of Hamilton? I think most hands went up. The rap musical about the guy on the $10 bill, Alexander Hamilton. And then I asked how many people had actually seen it. A couple hands went up. Now a few more hands can go up. How many people have seen Hamilton? Oh, great. Yeah, we got four of us have seen it. Well, my family and I, thanks to Meg's vigilance over the summer, getting the automatic emails showing when a block of tickets was opening up. I got this excited phone call at 9 o'clock one night. The block of tickets between Christmas and New Year's have opened up. What should I do? I said, get them. So she got 6 tickets for us. I want to say face value, matinee performance. So suffice it to say, I could say a lot about the musical, but it was truly wonderful. So when it travels, make sure you see it. But even more powerful in some ways than the musical itself is the heart and the soul and the passion of its creator, Lin-Manuel Miranda, as movingly displayed in his acceptance speech for the Tony Award for Best Original Score. Before reading his 54-second speech, which maybe some of you saw, let me set the stage for his speech. It was Sunday evening, last June, June 12th, and earlier in that day, in the wee hours of the morning, a lone gunman shot and killed 49 people at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, Florida, in what is our nation's most horrific and most deadly hate crime. And so on that evening in New York City, the theater community gathered for its awards ceremony. And that was the backdrop that night for Miranda's speech. It was written as a sonnet for his wife, but really written for all of us and for this world. It is a sonnet in which he has given all of us words to live by. Words to live by in the face of the world's injustice, in face of the world's hate, in the face of the world's fear, in the face of the world's prejudice, in face of the world's great need, and I would add, in the face of people in our own lives this year who will face any kind of sadness or despair. His words can be our marching orders for the coming year. They can be our words to live by in 2017. They really can be words to live by for the rest of our lives. My wife's the reason anything gets done. She nudges me towards promise by degrees. She is a perfect symphony of one. Our son is her most beautiful reprise. We chase the melodies that seem to find us until they're finished songs and start to play. When senseless acts of tragedy remind us that nothing here is promised, not one day. This show is proof that history remembers. We live through times when hate and fear seem stronger. We rise and fall and light from dying embers, remembrances that hope and love last longer. And love is love is love is love is love is love. Love cannot be killed or swept aside. I sing Vanessa's symphony. Eliza tells her story. Now fill the world with music, love, and pride.